I'm Jay.
I'm Adrian.
And together we are
the Two Crazy Cat Ladies.
I'm gonna cut you.
I think I just peed.
Buckle up. We're back in the closet.
Welcome to another episode of Back in the Closet with the Two Crazy Cat Ladies, where we sit in our closet with cats and wine and discuss very important topics. Today's topic is a very important topic. And it's about how to build the forever cat, right? It's about longevity tips for our kitties. I think you guys are going to be surprised, because for any of you guys that follow us across social media or read our blogs, you know how much we talk about nutrition, right? And we're in our industry, the business that we are in is in pet nutrition. So of course, we're going to talk about food and nutrition and how important these things are for our kitties. But I don't think that everybody gets the full picture when it comes to actually creating the forever cat, right? Making sure that our cats live the longest, healthiest, and happiest lives. It's not all about food. So of course, food is foundational, and we will discuss that today too. But we want to give you guys all the tips in one little place here on this podcast, so that everybody can
all the tips we've learned so far.
Yes.
We're always still learning.
So. We don't know everything. And that's why we continue to share new things as we learn them on social media. Because we are no experts, but we have been cat parents for a really long time, and we have been in pet nutrition for almost 20 years. Can you believe that?
We started in kindergarten, and it's been a long road.
But I feel like we're echoing. Can you hear the echo?
I know. It's because
we're in our new closet in our new bathroom. And
it's not quite as sound dense as we're used to, because
I don't know why. Was that big tub that we got that was the sound barrier?
I don't know. I think, we cleaned our closet, and now there's tile floor.
Yeah.
That isn't all soaking wet.
I don't know. But thank you guys for joining us today. Everybody who's here live on Facebook, on YouTube, and on TikTok. We're blessed to be here. We're honored to be here tonight to discuss these important topics. So let's just get it started and get food out of the way. Okay.
Yes.
Food is foundational. And we all know that. You don't need a degree in nutrition to know that fresh food is better than processed foods. That's not something that it's not rocket science. We all know that our bodies and our cats' bodies and our dogs' bodies, every mammal should eat what is appropriate to their species. And that is for us and our cats also fresh food, right? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, a lot of you guys know that we did a dry January, and where we didn't have alcohol and we were eating fresher foods. We were being more mindful of the foods that we were eating. We were floored at some of the impacts that had, and we don't eat like crap all the time anyways.
No, not
but
all
a
the
lot
time.
Of processed foods, a lot of like fast frozen pizzas, a lot, you know what I mean? So we just kind of eliminated those things. Our anxiety went way down. Our attitude went way up. We were more active. We were happier. Our relationship was even just more fun. And I think
we lost weight.
Yes. But we see that same thing. I remember when we first transitioned our babies over to a fresh food diet. It was like their energy was up. They were interested in so many more things. It was like they were more curious. Their coats were incredible. It was just a really, you know, I think it's Dr. Karen Becker that says, you know, why would you feed your cat anything other than cat food, right? Like the kibble, why would you do that? And I think that, you know, we're all kind of coming to this place as a society, maybe in small pockets, at least here, where you're starting to realize the impact of a clean eating, right?
Yeah.
And eating things that are less processed, less treated. And so food is so foundational.
It is.
But it's not in everyone's budget to do, you know.
And whole fresh food diet for every meal, complete and balanced, all of that. It's not something that everybody can do. It's not something that every cat will eat. It's not necessarily something that is recommended for every cat, right? Like, I mean, raw food doesn't agree with some cats in the same way that it agrees with our cats, right? So there's a whole lot of things, guys. We did a whole week in December on on Get Fresh with Your Feline. We interviewed the experts in pet nutrition, and we have all of that on YouTube. It's on our podcast. It is on our website. If you guys want tips on how to just add a little bit of fresh to the bowl, on not breaking the budget, on not even shopping for fresh cat food, but literally just giving your cat table scraps, right? Like human grade food that's good for their bodies. This makes a big difference. And when you look into the research of the longest living cats, one of the things that the two oldest cats, and I read everything that I could read about that was documented about the two oldest cats in the world that lived to be 38. Both of them lived to be 38 years old. And one of the things that they did is they ate table scraps. They ate human grade foods, not for every meal. They ate processed foods mainly, but they ate table scraps. They ate turkey, bacon, broccoli, eggs, whatever the owner wanted to feed them. That's what they ate. And so they ate with their parents, right? They ate with their family, and they ate some of what their family also eats. So food is foundational, but it is not singly the only thing that is going, that's Jack. See, he agrees. It's not the only thing that is going to get your cat to live the longest life possible. Okay. So let's go into some of the other things like vaccines and medications. Now, I think the cool thing about when it comes to cats versus dogs, let's say that my theory, and there's no science to back this up. My theory, because I think about these things a lot, my theory as to why cats live longer lives than dogs on average, their lifespan is longer than most dogs. I truly believe that one of those aspects is that cats are less vaccinated than they are and less medicated because, which isn't always a good thing, but we take our cats to the vet a whole lot less. I think the study said 15% of cat parents actually go to take their cats to the vet on a regular basis for checkups, things like that. This is not something that we advocate for. We do want to get, we want to know where our cat's health is, but.
And we want to build a health history and a relationship with our veterinarian.
Correct.
We don't want to just show up when there's an emergency and there's no idea, you know, no one has any idea what the past, you know, 7 years have been like.
Yeah.
So
I don't feel like that's something that we need to really pound into, you know, cat parents' heads. I think all of us are kind of common sense. You know, the reason dogs are vaccinated so much more than cats is because they go to dog parks and they're exposed to a lot more than most of our indoor cats, right? So a lot of us are like, why would they even need a vaccine? Like, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why would they need it if they're not going to be exposed to anything?
And to be clear, we are not, as some people have called us,
anti-vaxxers. No, all of our cats are vaccinated.
Have all of their initial shots.
But we don't do it yearly. We don't do it every 3 years. They get their kitten shots. And then we're like, okay, okay, good.
And then we
medicating too, you know, for some of us, and this was us for many years, we would take our cats to the vet and for a symptom, maybe they were, you know, had runny eyes or they were sneezing or, you know, they're whatever it was. If we took them to the vet, and the vet would always, without even testing, would just say, okay, we need steroids and antibiotics. If you guys go to a vet, and this is the, and then I'll get off this simple subject, but it's very important, right? If you go to a vet that every time you go, they say they need a vaccine, or every time you go, they say they need steroids and antibiotics and don't do testing for these things, then you need to find another vet. That's not the practice that we want to build our forever cat, right? To build to longevity in our cats.
I think one of the big things too, that kind of is something that we learned recently, by that I mean the last, I don't know, 10 years, is that you really want to, you know, when you do bring your cat in, maybe they have some sort of illness or maybe they're dealing with something. It's like, oh, antibiotics. I remember doing that, right? And it's just like, oh, well, he needs antibiotics. Never once did I think to ask, can we culture to see what antibiotic is going to be most effective? I think that's a big deal, because so often maybe it's a virus. Maybe the antibiotic isn't going to touch it, or maybe it's going to touch it for just a minute, but it's going to keep coming back. Jack is up on top of it, being crazy. So that's just a simple question that we can ask our vets when we do go in, is let's culture this to find out what antibiotic.
Yeah, because these are chemicals, guys. And that's a very good point, because especially with antibiotics, what we're seeing now with so many cats and dogs getting antibiotic after antibiotic, we're just testing to see which one would be better. We'd give them this one and then that doesn't work, so we give them another one. Then what we're actually also doing is building up resistance. Antibiotic resistance means that when your cat is in actually a life,
really needs it.
Yeah. A life. What's the word? Life saving. Like, antibiotics can be life saving. They can be, we're not anti-medicine either. They can be life saving if your cat needs it. But if your cat has now an antibiotic resistance, then in that moment when they really, really need it, it doesn't do the job that it needs to do to save their life, right? So we want to be just mindful of the chemicals and the food that we're putting into our cat's bodies, right?
And that goes right into
understanding what we're also using in our homes.
In their environment, you think about them being enclosed in our four walls most of the time. We love open window season. Here in Las Vegas, our windows are open right now because it's a gorgeous day. But never did we think about, the floor cleaners that we were using, the sprays that we were using, the plugins that we were using, the detergents that we were using, the places that where our cats are sleeping and walking and cleaning themselves or absorbing things straight into. Are you coming down? Are you coming down?
Squirrel.
Just got it. You are coming down, aren't you?
Come on, Jack. Yeah. So the chemicals that we use in our home are going to affect our cats directly. And there's studies. There's so many studies now. We can't ignore it. Right. The study showed that in indoor cats in households where people like us, we used to never even thought about it, use the chemical floor cleaners, the everyday cleaners that we all pick up at the store or at the grocery store or wherever we pick up our cleaners, Walmart, smell really good, make us feel like we have a really clean home. But those cleaners, guys, there were of all the cats that were tested, the majority showed on average over 20 of those chemical household cleaners in their urine. Okay. And over 40 of them in their bloodstream. So, and we're not feeding our cats these things. Like, we're not purposely giving our cats some like chemicals in our home. We just need to be mindful of this because these first three topics, right? Food, the medications, vaccines, and the chemicals in our home, our bodies, our cats' bodies have these beautiful, amazing organs that help flush out all of these, chemicals that they get, that we get, right? Toxins that we get from the food that we eat, from the air that we breathe, from, pollution, from the chemicals that we come encounter with, the chemicals that our cats ingest because they're on their paw pads and they lick them, the ones that go directly into their bloodstream. Our bodies have these awesome organs that, even the crappy processed foods that they can process through beautifully, but that's really taxing on those organs. And we say, why does every senior cat end up with kidney disease? That kidney is a beautiful organ that is flushing these things all the time. If we're feeding highly processed foods, if we're giving them, multiple medications and vaccines, if We are consistently polluting their environment with chemicals, then those organs are just always working. They're always working. They're trying to flush everything out. So if we can cut back on the processed foods, if we can cut back on the, you know, the medications and the vaccinations and just be mindful about like when they need it, give it to them when they need it. Yes. But when they don't need it, we don't do it as a preventative. Medicine isn't a preventative. Medicine is a symptomatic treater, right? And the chemicals that we have in our home, if we are mindful about all of this and we can reduce the amount of the
exposure
and the taxing on their organs, for their organs to do so much work, their organs can stay alive longer and do their job longer when we aren't, you know, we are exposing them to so much.
Well, and I think to the point of the study, though, too, it's that there are certain toxins that humans or animals can be exposed to that will build up. It's like microdosing on toxins. That's why they have detox, you know, protocols and stuff like that. So it's just that idea of just being, you know, is cleaning your floors with A, B, or C, the end of the world? No, but over time, you know, they'll absorb it into their very vascular paw pads. They'll lick it off their fur if they lay down. It's just this, it's like microdosing on toxins that, you know, we have found we save a lot of money with our water and vinegar cleaners.
Yeah. Once you can get past, and I think for me, it was getting past the smell, because many of us, probably you guys too, you love those Swiffers.
Fresh.
You know, like I wanted it for Christmas. I'm like, I'm a clean freak. So I want everything to be really nice and tidy and I want it to smell good. And I used the plugins and I used the candles and I used all the chemical cleaners.
And she would do seasonal
bleached scents. Everything. I did. Yeah.
Christmas was evergreen and springtime was Mediterranean.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
and not knowing how that was affecting our cats. And until I did know, and then I had to get over the smell. I had to get over the fact that the house wasn't going to smell like bleach anymore. And it's so amazing that, you know, it's been years now that we've been cleaning with, you know, and you can actually make your cleaners smell good, right? Like, I just dropped a cat tip this week, I think, on how to make your own cleaners at home. You guys, over time, you're saving a whole lot of money. And you're saving your cats from you and yourself. These are also, you know, these chemicals, we're also in our bloodstream now and in our respiratory system and all that stuff. But you can mix like with water and vinegar. We did it for a while. We mixed orange peels, mm-hmm. Lemon, lime peels make it smell fresh. Better.
Dr.
You
Karen
can put
Becker
a couple drops of like...
She did a great little video. You should go look it up on her page, Dr. Karen Becker, about making your home smell nice and fresh. And it's simmering a bunch of delicious things on the stove. You think, well, that's great for the however long you have it simmering. But then you strain it into a bottle and it turns into this beautiful room spray.
Yeah.
So all safe for our babies and mm-hmm. ourselves. So there are ways and things.
Yep. Lavender. You could. Yeah, there's so many. I mean, you can even use essential oils or you could buy, like they make really expensive natural cleaners. You can buy them if you want, but it's, you know, it's going to be more expensive versus saving the money and the chemicals in your home. So
and I have to say, you know, as cat people, I know so many people have said to us, oh, we're never coming over to your house. It must stink for cat. It's going to smell like a shelter. You have 5 cats, right? And we had the absolute beautiful pleasure of having the one and only Dr. Barry Sands come stay at our home this past weekend. And of course, we like to ask people who have a proclivity to being very honest and forthcoming, does it smell? Do you smell anything? She was like, I'm a bloodhound. And no, I don't smell. Like, it's, you don't smell cat. And some of you guys know that we've had some markers around.
That's what
lately.
We got worried about.
Because like, did we miss a spot? Because we're always kind of on the prowl to see if anything's happening. So
on the prowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is a big thing, thinking about their environment, the things that, and for us too, right? Sometimes I feel like we've made healthier decisions for ourselves because we realized it was healthier for our cats.
I know. I thought about that. I thought about that today. I was like, you know, it's really interesting because a lot of people are like, they start to eat healthy. They, you know, they get into the, they watch the documentary or whatever it is that makes them understand how much of most of our foods are made and processed and we, where they come from and what, how they slaughter animals and how they spray all of our vegetables and all of this stuff. And you watch any of, there's a numerous amount of documentaries. You watch that and then you start eating healthier. And then it's usually that because you start realizing that, that then you start feeding your animals healthier. We're the opposite. We're actually the opposite. So we were like, oh my God, we learned, you know, we started in pet nutrition. We were never in human nutrition. We're still not great at caring for ourselves in the way that we care for our cats. To be very honest, we're working on it, but we're still not great at that. But what was I going to say? Something just popped up on.
You were thinking about that today, how we make healthy decisions.
Oh, yeah. But ours is the opposite. We learned why processed foods weren't healthy for animals. We learned more about fresh foods and over medicating and all of that in the animal world that then turned us to let's not take a lot of medications. Let's stay away from the, you know, I don't want to end up with all the diseases that everybody ends up with because they have this medication and then they have to take that medication to take this medication for that side effect.
That side effect and this side. Right.
Yeah. And we're like, let's see if we can, you know, do those things naturally. We actually do well on that. Like Like we'll take curcumin over ibuprofen if we have a headache, you know, little things. There's little things that we can
do. Baby steps for us. And we blame our cats for a lot of the good ones that we've taken. I want to think about food. So we've talked about food, the importance of food and nutrition, the medicating, the vaccinating, all that, the toxins or chemicals that we expose ourselves and our cats to. And they're so much smaller than us. So you think about that, the density of that contamination for, we're 12 times bigger than our cats. So it's going to be a little more concentrated. But for food, I really think, and we had that little mini reading with ACC and they were talking about, did a little mini reading for Jack. That's going to drop, I think, on Monday.
Yeah.
You guys can hear this. It's so good.
We'll share it on our podcast. It's on their podcast. The Animal Communication Podcast is their podcast. You guys go follow.
And they were talking about Jack loves his snacks. Like he's a little junk food junkie. Like he's only ever been fed raw, fresh foods. But I think there's that element of, you know, enjoying meal time as well is kind of a big deal and definitely was a great reminder for Jack's little reading.
Yeah, that he wants some junk food every once in a while. And that's fine. You know, it's fine with us, too.
Give him a little a topper on his food.
You probably don't beat yourselves up if you typically eat pretty healthy and then, you know, you're in a rush and you go to fast food, you go through a drive through somewhere or something like that and eat that food instead. There's no reason to beat up on yourself. It's the same with, same with our cats. It's
food can be enriching.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Well, and let's talk about enrichment because I think that's another thing. And that this one, enrichment for our cats is another longevity tip that I think that are sorely lacking in. I know our cats are. You know, we do the best that we can. We say we do the best that we can, but it is kind of, you know, difficult.
Well, and let's talk about some of the specifics. Like vertical space for our cats, such a big deal. The safe spaces, little boxes, hidey holes, that sort of thing. Like we do, we built them a whole little super highway. I think Jackson Galaxy does such a great job of, especially in multi-cat homes, recognizing that not everyone, just like people, not everyone's going to get along or want to be best friends and snuggle all day long together.
Yeah.
So you want to give them options for how they move around their territory. And that vertical space has been so fascinating to see how that works.
Yeah. Jackson Galaxy and Kate Benjamin call it catification. And it is, it's a beautiful thing that we can do for our cats when we can't engage them in play, is offer them all that vertical space and ways to enrich them at home in your house, right? But there's still something really great about grounding, right? When our dogs get to ground quite a bit, they go outside, they go for walks,
touch the earth
to their paws, right? So it's something that I think most of our cats are lacking. I know our cats are lacking. We're still trying to find a freaking someone to build this catio that we've already laid the foundation for. For our kitties, we were hoping it would be done. Their birthday is this Saturday, March 30th. And we were hoping it would be done for
their birthday.
For their birthday.
It'd be a belated birthday gift.
It's going to be a belated birthday gift. Instead, they got one fast cat wheels, which is also a great way to, you know, to get them moving. Exercise is... Again, we don't need a degree to know how important exercise is for us and our cats, for them to be able to run and jump and play and get that mental enrichment of being outside and watching the birds and the bugs and the, you know, the sights and the sounds, breathing in fresh air, putting their feet to the ground. These are things that we want to do, but we have to keep our cats safe. So it's harder for us cat parents than it is dog parents, because just, you know, slapping on a leash and taking them outside, or, you know,
although that is something
isn't
that
as easy for us cat parents as it is, you know, for most dogs. The dogs are usually a lot bigger than our cats too, so they can't get under things, or they don't jump over fences. I mean, some of them do.
Yeah.
But
Zorro is the easiest of our cats to harness train, and it's been awesome. And you watch him, you know, as soon as he goes outside, he just goes straight to the dirt and starts rolling around in it. I mean, it's just like, he's like, oh, I love the earth. It's so cute. So
he's also our purist and won't eat anything that's processed.
He's
I feel like he might be the longest living cat. He might end up being the longest living cat.
But thinking of that enrichment, and it's not just about, you know, like the vertical space or the outside time, the supervised outside time, if possible, the open windows, the safe spots for your cat that aren't somewhere where they're like hiding that you can't get to. You know, it's like Jackson talks about blocking the unders, right? And that's where cats that have that tendency to want to hide, you know, if there's, God forbid, a fire or something like that, you don't want your cat hiding in a place that you cannot get to them. So providing them, hey, Annie Bell, providing them safe spaces that are, she loves her podcast, doesn't she?
She does.
Only our second one in the new closet, but she's enjoying them. Actually creating those safe places instead of under the dresser or somewhere where we can't get to them should there, God forbid, be an emergency is a big deal. But scratching posts, real scratching posts. You know, we've got cardboard scratchers all over the place, and our babies actually really love those. The horizontal ones they can lay on and just rip into because their body weight is on it and they're pulling on it. But the vertical ones, we recently just made the 2x4 scratcher. We've been talking about doing it for years, where we just took a 2x4, we wrapped sisal rope around it, and we screwed it into the wall.
Yeah.
And that thing has gotten more
traction
and activity than their cat tree scratchers, which are also pretty sturdy. But this thing's like
really
sturdy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Great way to also keep your cats from scratching your furniture is to give them an alternative that is sturdy. So if your couch is next to a wall, then maybe consider wrapping some sisal rope on a 2x4 and attaching it to the wall, so that they have, you know, that space that is where they like to scratch, or in that area is where they like to scratch, but then they also have a great alternative, a sturdy alternative. Because that's the real reason that most of our cats scratch furniture is because it's so sturdy. They can, you know, it's a lot better for them to sharpen their nails, to reduce their stress, to mark their territory, to strengthen their muscles. That they need something sturdy in order to be able to do that. And that's why cats scratch. So, offering enrichment. Now, you know, when Dr. Barry Sands was here this weekend, she said, have you considered just, you know, letting your cats just go outside?
That's a big jump.
And we don't live in a place. We live in a beautiful community. I love where we live. But
and there are a lot of neighborhood
cats
that seem to be indoor, outdoor kitties.
And there are many, you know, like Dr. Judy Morgan lives on a beautiful land and her cats can just run out. One of the oldest cats, in the world, the 38-year-old, Cream Puff, lived on a farm too, and was able to just run and, you know, explore and breathe and was safe. We have coyotes, we have cars, we have hawks, we have, neighborhood cats, we have, you know, it's not safe for our cats to be able to go outside unsupervised. Yeah. So we don't do that. If you live somewhere where they can, or you can build like a massive catio of some sort, then that's beautiful. Do it. But for us, we have to think of other ways to get them to ground, touch the earth, ways for them to get fresh air, and still be safe, right? Because indoor cats on average live, unfortunately, now 15 years is on average what the statistics say. Outdoor cats live on average 3 to 5 years. Or is it 2 to 5?
I think it's 2 to 5 years, but either way.
Yeah. So it's like, we're kind of working on this longevity thing.
Well, and it's worth mentioning too, like, I think it's fascinating that 4 of our 5 cats, so Zorro, Friday, Jack, and Madison, they know when we pull out the strollers or when Jay gets the leash out, they are so excited to go outside and just, you know, watch the birds and have the breeze and all that. And our Annie, who we found on the side of the road, is not excited about going outside. Yeah.
Nope.
So this is about, you know, it's not like, oh my God, you have to take your cat outside. It's about options, right? Doing it in a safe way and paying attention to your cat. I think it's really important, you know, we use the strollers or the carriers to bring out the 3 of our cats that are not harness trained that like to go outside. Oh my goodness. Harness trained that little one. Sorry, squirrel. I think it's really important to get our cats familiar and comfortable with being in a carrier, you know, for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. Again, if there's an emergency, for regular vet visits, let's do that. Getting them used to car rides, little baby steps, right? To make them comfortable with it.
Yeah.
But paying attention to what our cat's comfort level is.
Right. And all of these, if you guys have been following us for a long time, you probably have heard all of these before, right? Because these are all just foundational tips for helping our cats. And in our opinion, they're all acts of love, right? They're all acts of love for our kitties and for us to give them the best life possible, right? However, you can feed the best food and you can give the best supplements and you can use non-toxic everything and not, you know, but you can be mindful of all of this stuff. But the greatest of these is love.
Always.
Always. You think about like the stories of, and we hear them every day, right? Every time we give a tip about like feeding your cat a better diet or doing this or that. We always get the, I fed my cat, you know, Purina kibble or whatever their whole life and they live to be 25 years old. I bet they were really loved, you know, happening.
Phoebe, goodness, you're very strong. Did you see
Okay, you guys didn't see that, but
he literally just flung himself up and tried grabbed to the rod and just was
hanging from the curtain or the curtain rod from the close rod. Mm-hmm. That just happened. Anyway, sorry, listeners.
You missed a little distraction. Oh,
everybody missed that. Nobody saw it.
It's a great reminder that all of these things that we do, we need to do them from a place of love.
Yes.
Not place fear. Of, oh God, I can't. Oh no, I shouldn't. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like anything that we do in life, but specifically anything that we do that impacts another being, like our beautiful cats, we want it to come from a place of
love.
And if that means that we can't afford the best food, fine. If that means that, you know, we live with roommates that only ever use Pine-Sol, fine. Like there are things that are out of our control, but staying in that space of doing our best from a place of love is the best place to be.
It is.
And it means that there is no judgment. Are you trying to get up there now too? Good for. I think it's not just about, we think of judgment as like, oh, you know, we post a cat tip, people judge us for A, B, or C. It's not about that. It's about the self-judgment, you guys.
Yeah.
It's about feeling bad that we couldn't give Zorro his outside time today. No, like when we do have time, when it is whatever, then we're going to do it with love, not as a, oh, finally, we're making up for something that we didn't do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. I think this is super important. This is the most important longevity tip for our kitties, right? If you are feeding that you're feeding the best food that you can feed, you're doing the best that you know to do for your cats because you love them, then that is going to trump all of everything, right? If you're feeding a processed food, but because that's all that you can afford and you're doing it with love, you're preparing it with love, you're literally enjoying watching your cats eat their food, that is going to be so much better for them than say me. Even if I were to be like, oh my God, I have to feed my cat fresh food. So I have to give them raw meat, organs and bones. And so I have to prepare it and I'm making their food in fear. It's going to be much less healthy for their bodies for me to prepare a fresh food diet in fear than for you to prepare a processed food in love. Love is the key to longevity for our cats, regardless. It is the greatest key. Now, as we said, all these other tips that we just gave you are also, if done in love and not fear, are great acts of love, right? And you don't have to do them all. You could pick a couple of them. The oldest living cats didn't do all of that. Their owners didn't do all of that. They did, you know, a little bit of that, a little bit of fresh food here and there. They did a little bit of, you know, they just got their initial vaccines, but they weren't vaccinated every year. They just, you know, they were pretty healthy. They weren't over medicated.
They had some outside time.
They got their enrichment and their outside time. And, you know, like this was all done in love. They just did the best that they could with what information that they had. And they did it. They treated their cats with love. And that's why, in my opinion, they actually lived the longest life of recorded, at least in history, of cats. So next week, guys, it's going to be a big week. Speaking of love, a year ago, we found Annie, our little Annie Banani, Annie Olivia, on the side of the road right after we lost our two seniors. One just dropped dead. The other one went downhill right after that. It was a tragedy, a horrible time for us, or I would say just a very grieving time for us. And then Annie pops up on the side of the road, so unexpected. We were not planning on anything like that. We weren't even planning on getting another cat. It was ever. but we found her on the side of the road. We consulted with the Animal Communication Collective with Karen Dendy Smith and Meredith Tolleson about Annie. And we did it live here on our podcast. You guys can go back and watch that on YouTube. You can go back and listen to the podcast where we found a kitten and we want to know where she came from. And they did a communication session with her on the podcast and gave us some answers as to where she came from and why she was here. And who brought her here and all of these things. They are coming back on our podcast next week, right here, same time, same place. And April 3rd, they will be doing another reading. So a year later, we want to talk to her again and we want to find out, how does she feel now? Now that it's been a year, and I think it's almost to the day that they did the reading, mm-hmm. We're just moving cats around here in our closet. Almost to the day, we're doing another reading a year later to find out how she is now. How does she feel? Is she happy in her new home? Is she, you know, does she like her brothers and sisters? What, you know, how is she doing now? And we invite all of you guys to come with us, and we have no idea. So we'll find out. Maybe we're doing something wrong. Maybe we're doing something right. I don't know, but we do love her.
So we know.
And
her.
So yeah, we know that. On the right foot. Exactly. So that's going to wrap up this episode of Back in the Closet with the Two Crazy Cat Ladies. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We're going to finish our non-alcoholic wine and probably go to bed soon. So, we love you guys. We love you. Thank you so much. And we will see you very soon.
Go love your babies.
Remember, the greatest of these is love.
Oh, bye, guys.